I have thought about this evening. Don't know what to entitle it, but part of it, I suppose, I would entitle Escape from Egypt. I'm thinking about that as a type. Egypt is a type of sin. It's a type of captivity. And we think back, if you will, in your mind with me this evening, when the children of Israel first went into the land of Egypt, it seemed to be a very pleasant thing. They had the land of Goshen, which was the best of Egypt. And it was something that at first it seemed to be such a blessing to them. And I'm not willing to argue of all. I know it seemed like the Lord worked it out to get them down in there, but on the spiritual side tonight, God doesn't want you and I dwelling in the land of Egypt. But I want us to notice the deceptiveness, the pleasant view, and the attractiveness of sin. It is something at first blush and at first taste. It is something that can seem most pleasant. It is something that would seem like it'd be good for us to enjoy. And most always, the devil never pulls back the cover and helps us to see the end of the thing. Almost never does he let us know what poison is in the honey that he feeds us. Almost never. And I don't want to bore you with stories of people who have taken this route before and ended up in shipwreck, but you've got some, I'll guarantee you, I imagine that you can see yourself, that you have observed that you can recognize that they're in trouble, or people who have made shipwreck out of their life. And that's just a fact. Open your eyes. Wisdom cries in the street and lets us know that. There are some paths we don't need to try. It's been tried and proven to be a failure. And we don't need to reinvent that. There are things that we know that we shouldn't be involved with, yet the devil tries to tempt and tries to cause us to feel like that. You can control it. You can be involved in that and you'll be all right. I want to tell you, be careful, because the honey has poison in it. Well, the children of Israel went down to the land of Canaan, land of Egypt. And for a while it seemed like a good thing, but they stayed. Was it 400 years? They stayed in the land of Egypt. And somewhere in the process of the 400 years of living in this land, they, instead of having the best and the liberty that they enjoyed when Joseph was the leader, instead of having that, somewhere it devalued to the point where there was nothing more than slaves. And I'll tell you today, if we live in the land of Egypt, we also will do the same. It'll be devalued to the point that we are no more than common slaves. And as the people began to groan under that, and they hardly knew what to say, I don't believe after a while their case becomes so dark that they hardly know what the groanings of their heart should say, but they know they're in trouble. And so they began to groan under the weight of this, and the Lord of heaven heard their groaning. And the Lord of heaven recognized their helpless state. And the Lord of heaven began to talk to a man. You remember the story of Moses in the burning bush. I want to tell you, I don't believe it was what Moses would have chosen to go and talk to the king of Egypt. That wasn't his plan that day. But the Lord called him to a job. And he listened to the voice of the Lord and he headed to the land of Egypt. And he talked to Pharaoh. Well, I realize that in the story we begin to realize that when first he went and communed with the people, that he said, the Lord is going to deliver you from this land. And it seemed to be good news to their ears. But their doubt was so strong. They didn't feel like that it could be accomplished. At first, it was a good thing. Well, said, you go and tell him, and we're ready to follow you. But the king said no. And right away, their countenance fell. And the Lord Himself began to... And you've heard the verse that says, faith is a gift of God. It is a gift of God. You know what God began to do for these people to build their faith? He began to show them Himself and His action, one act after another. The Lord Himself began to expose Himself to these people. And after a while, they began to see the great and mighty works. You know, the plagues of Egypt. And as the Lord began to work in their hearts and for them, faith began to rise. And then there came a time that the Lord told them, He said, get ready tonight. But one of the things they were having to do, He said, you take a lamb and you sacrifice this lamb. And He said, you take the blood of that lamb and you strike it on the doorpost of your house. And you eat this lamb in haste. You put your shoes on your feet. You be prepared to leave. He said, this is something that the Lord's going to do. Tonight, He said, He's going to pass through the land. And if you're not covered with the blood, if this blood is not on your doorpost, the Lord will require your firstborn out of your house. Well, you know the story. The Lord did what He said He would do. He passed through the land. And Pharaoh, all the children of Egypt, they weren't prepared. And they didn't have the blood. And you remember all the firstborn. And through this act, the Lord delivered His people out of the land of Egypt. Now, this is something that the Lord wants to do for the lost souls today. I want you to know that the Lord has a great desire tonight to deliver souls from hell. He doesn't want you to live, not just hell. We look at the eternal punishment, and it's good for us to recognize that and understand that. But God wants you to be free from the stain of sin in this life that you live today. There are people that would like to say, well, you have the best life now. I want to tell you, we can have a wonderful life now, but the Lord wants to clean you and I up, and He wants us to have a life of salvation now that we can enjoy the best life in eternity. But God does want you and I to enjoy salvation here. He wants you and I to flee from the land of Egypt. He wants you and I to recognize that God wants to save you and I from the life of sin. He's not interested in that having dominion over you and I anymore. And I would to God tonight that we could recognize the vileness of sin, the defiling of it, and how much everyone, if you are here tonight and you are living under the oppressive thumb of sin, I would to God you'd recognize how terrible that is. There are many people that the crust has grown over their heart to the point they don't recognize the imminent peril that they are living in. And it takes a work of God to begin to help your eyes to be open to the eternal damnation that you're in risk of. And I want to tell you, those are words that come out of my mouth, and I'm not just trying to shock you tonight, but those are true words. God has devised a plan that He wants you and I to be able to escape eternal damnation. And He's got a lamb that He provided. He's got a lamb that He has provided. God wants to awaken people. I want to tell you here tonight also, and in the fear of God, I believe I have seen a hardness grow over many souls today. It seems like there is a lack of conviction of the Holy Spirit. The Lord is still working, don't get me wrong. But there are many hearts have grown so hard that it's hard for the Lord to penetrate the crust that they have. I want to tell you tonight that the Lord wants to save you. But He will not save you if you don't give Him your will. And I want to tell you tonight, if the gospel goes forth, as the gospel rings out over your heart, and if you're not stirred in your heart, you may be one of those that will die and go to hell. And I don't want to have to say that, but the fact is, not everyone probably in this building tonight is going to go to heaven. I wish I could say it differently than that. But that should shock us, that I might be one of those that would fail and not make heaven my home. I would to God tonight that if you don't feel the stirring of the Lord, if you feel a callousness and a carelessness about that, you would begin to beg and ask God to pull back the hardness and coldness of your heart and allow it to be opened up to the dealings of God, because it's serious business tonight. We need to escape from Egypt. We need to be able to escape from the life of sin. And God has made the way. He wants to help you and I. And He's done all He knows how to build that faith in you and I that we can reach out and grasp His salvation. But there, we're going to have to receive it. Now, I also want you to know this. God has a plan for all humanity. He wants you and I to be able not only to escape from the land of Egypt. He has a plan, and here again is another type. His plan and His desire was to take those people who heard His voice that He called out of the land of Egypt. He had a plan to take them to a good land. The escape from Egypt wasn't all. There was a place that the Lord wanted to take them to. And it's a place of peace and joy. I'm talking spiritually today. Back then it was called the land of Canaan. A land flowing with milk and honey. Over in Exodus, the 33rd chapter. Will you turn with it? Turn in your Bibles with me. And he said, maybe the 33rd chapter in the first verse. And the Lord said unto Moses, depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, and to the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it. Now the Lord had promised, had given them hope, had given them His Word about a special place that He had made for them. And folks, I don't want us to place this clear over in the next life into heaven. There is something God has for you and I today. And I'm not going to try to sell you on the idea that everything is going to be so fantastic and so unnaturally joyful that you're never going to have a care, because that's not what salvation is. But I do want you to know there's a place of peace and joy in your soul. There's a place of contentment and a deep-seated knowledge that all is well between me and God. And that's the place God wants you and I to be able to arrive at, where the Holy Spirit, where His Holy Spirit is able to dwell within you and I and lead you and I and teach us and guide us into a land of peace, a land that flows with milk and honey. And that's God's desire for every one of us. When He calls us from the land of Egypt, when we escape from the land of Egypt, His mind, even for these people here, the mind of God was that they would make a dash, that they would not linger in the land that, what do they call it? The desert. What do they call it? The wilderness. That wasn't where God wanted them to wander around in 40 years. God had His mind was that they would leave the land of Egypt and head for the land of Canaan. That's the promise. That's where God wanted them. And I want to tell you here tonight, if there are souls here claiming to be saved and still dabbling around in the things of the world, God wants to lead you away from that. God wants to take you to a good land, one that satisfies you, one that calls you away from the attractions of the world. I want to tell you tonight, it's time to cut loose. It's time to give ourselves wholly to the Lord. This is spiritual warfare. It's a time that we need to turn our hearts completely and wholly to God and allow Him to lead us, not only out of the land of Egypt, but to a land of Canaan, where you and I feel the blessings of the Lord and the guiding hand for His very working in our heart. I want to tell you tonight, dear ones, that it is a work of God. And that is what we need. We must have the workings of God. We can supply a certain will. We can supply a certain effort of our own. But none of that is sufficient to bring holiness in our life. None of that is sufficient to help us to rise above the temptations of this world. We've got to have a work of God. And I want to tell you tonight, there is a spirit. By this shall all... it's over there in the book of John. I'm not quoting it quite right. I think it's 1 John... I'll turn here quickly. Talks about the Spirit. 1 John, the 3rd chapter. And hereby we know that He abides in us by the Spirit which He has given us. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. This lets us know that there's some evidence we can have. And let me tell you what the evidence is tonight, dear ones. There is that by the Spirit that He gives us. Did you know the Lord wants to work in our hearts? If we are stagnant and the Lord no longer works in our heart, you better check where you are tonight. Because the Lord wants to be active in our heart. He wants to lead us out from the land of Egypt into a land of Canaan. He doesn't want us to stagnate. He wants us to go on into a restful place in the Lord. It's God's will. He wants you to make a dash for Canaan. He doesn't want us to linger around, dallying around, wondering and hoping and wishing that, oh, I wish I could just have a few leeks again from the land of Egypt. I wish I could have a few melons. Our heart's never supposed to be backslidden, headed back to Egypt. God wants you and I looking forward to the land of Canaan. A spiritual land where you and I, God is working in our heart. Again, it's not that, well, I'm doing all the preachers told me. I'm trying my best. I'm trying to measure up on all these standards. Folks, get the impetus, get the power of God in your life, and the standard's going to come. Get to know the one who calls us from death into life, and life will be there. Let the Lord work in your life. Don't resist Him. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Seek Him. Tonight there may be those here tonight that don't understand, and that's all right. But seek to understand. Ask the Lord, Lord, lead me right on. I want Your righteousness. I want Your holiness. I want to be like You. Folks, there is still a place tonight for young people to grow up in the Lord and have a holy life. And have a joyful life. Even when others reject them, there's a place of stability that the Lord wants to create in every young person here tonight. God wants to lead people out of the land of Egypt and into the land of Canaan. Amen. The Spirit that the Lord has given us begins to work in our heart and in our life. That Spirit is active. And I want to tell you tonight, if that Spirit's not active in your heart, you may not be saved. If the Lord's not working in you and changing you, you may not be saved. I'm not telling you that you aren't. But I want to tell you, you're in dangerous territory if the Lord's not at work in your life. Say you're judging, Brother Ivan. I want to tell you, that's what the Scripture teaches me. This is what the Lord wants to do. He doesn't want to leave us idling around, wishing and wondering, well, what steps next and where am I headed? Am I headed back to Egypt? Oh, I remember the fun I used to have, and begin to talk among ourselves. Well, I used to do this when I was out in sin, and I had some fun. Be careful that your heart's not being backslidden. Head for the land of Canaan. This land that He sware unto Abraham and Isaac and to Jacob, and unto thy seed, He said, will I give it. The second verse said, I will send an angel before thee, and I'll drive out the Canaanite and the Amorite and the Hittite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. And then He said, unto a land that flows with milk and honey. I will not go up in the midst of thee. The reason why the Lord is telling these people, there's a certain separation that I have to have. And the reason why the Lord wasn't able to lead them as closely as what He would have longed to is because, and He tells us right next, because you're a stiff-necked people. Let's not be a stiff-necked people. Let's be a tender-hearted people that has cultivated a sensitive ear to the Lord. And I'm not preaching something that's too straight tonight. This is what God wants to develop in us. And what I'm telling you tonight, not only does God want to develop that, it's a precious thing when we enter into it. It's a precious thing, and you're going to enjoy walking with the Lord. He said, I'll send an angel before you. I'll drive out the Canaanite. This is what the Lord wants to do. He wants to do a work before you. There may be some here tonight who have tried and tried and tried and come up against things in the life and have failed and failed and failed. And the devil has almost convinced you that there's no hope and there's no, you will never be able to gain victory over that. I want to tell you tonight, there is victory in Jesus. I want to tell you tonight, there is one who's still able to call you out of the land of Egypt and able to call you and encourage you and lead you by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by your night. He's able to lead you into a good land that flows with milk and honey, where you no longer have to be cowered by the giants in the hill over there. You no longer have to be intimidated by the walled cities and those who may sneer over the wall and saying, you can't take this place. I want to tell you tonight, by the grace of God, if you follow the Lord, if you let Him lead you, you're able to march around walls that should never fall. And by the grace of God and by the intervention of the Most High God of heaven, you're able to go straight forward through that wall and gain the victory. I want to tell you tonight, there's victory in Jesus. There's a place for you and I to have a good life. One of salvation. I'm not telling you that you're going to get up every day and everything is going to go smoothly. There are some things that are subject to man that we're going to have to deal with in life. You're going to still have flat tires sometime on the road to work. You're still going to have times when people won't like you. You're still going to have times where people will not understand you. You're still going to have times when just normal problems of life are going to happen. And you may feel discouragement at times, but there's places that the Lord will walk with you through those times, and you can have some real peace and joy and satisfaction in your heart. That's what God wants to do for you and I. There's a land of Canaan. Now God invites us to that. If you have escaped tonight from the land of Egypt, and you know your sins are forgiven, and you're headed for the Lord, and you're seeking higher heights and deeper depths in the Lord. The Lord has you by the hand, and He's leading you. I want to tell you, there's a place the Lord wants to give you of His Holy Spirit. He's not trying to hide it from you. It's God's great desire to impart to you and I His Holy Spirit. And I want to tell you tonight, if you have in your mind that, well, I'm going to go and get filled with the Holy Spirit, and it's going to cause me to act all these excited ways, you may be sorely disappointed if that's what you're looking for, because the evidence of the Holy Spirit is the Lord working holiness in your life. That's the evidence. And that's what God wants to do. And that is a much greater gift than us having all kinds of activity and saying, well, that's the Holy Spirit. No, the greatest gift of all is when the Lord resides in the heart of mankind and begins to create a peaceful habitation, holiness in your life. This is the land that the Lord wants to bring us to. And the Lord said unto Moses, the fifth chapter, saying, the children of Israel, you're a stiff-necked people. I'll come up unto the midst of thee in a moment and consume you. This is how the Lord acts when if we steadfastly reject Him. Brother Humphrey the other night preached us a message, and in that message he talked about, behold, the goodness and the severity of God. And we do not want, there's something about us in our humanity, we would like to not think about the severity of God. We like to think that God is love, and He is. We would like to see God as a very accepting God, and a God who is willing to overlook a lot of things. God is a very merciful God. But because He is love, it also means that He is a very just God. Love cries out for justice. Love is the most fair thing that is. But fairness not only is very loving and receiving, but to those who rejects it, it's also very just. So we must recognize that because God is love, there is a fact that you and I, well, He's a severe God also. Let's not be a stiff-necked person that comes up to the Lord and acts like we, well, Lord, you're going to have to see it my way. He's not one we can bargain with. He's not one we can stiff neck come up to and try to bring him down and say, Lord, you're going to have to understand my way of thinking. God understands your way of thinking. God already knows. There was a man one time and he was a good man. The Lord testified that he was a good man. His name was Job. And there was a point in his life that he began to complain. And he said, I wish I'd have never been born. I wish the Lord wouldn't have let me come here. Oh, my life's a misery. I'm putting this in my words, but you read the book of Job and you understand this is what he was saying. He was saying, I wish I wouldn't have even been here. It'd have been much better if I'd have never lived. And in doing so, he was having a certain accusation toward the Lord by saying that. Then there came a time down toward the end of all his complaint that the Lord brought another young man that was filled with a passion to defend God. And basically what brother, was it Jehu, brother Elihu? I believe that was his name. What he began to say, he said, God's still right, Job. I don't care what's happening, God's still right. And God is still right, folks. And there came a time then after Elihu began to defend the Lord and His righteousness, then the Lord turned to Job and He said, all right, Job, I've heard your argument, I've heard your complaint. Now go ahead, let's stand up. Gird your loins up. Do the best you can. Argue like a man. Do all you can. Let's bring your argument. And then He said, the Lord said, where were you, Job, when I laid the foundations of this world? Where were you when I created all this? Were you the one that created the big, said Leviathan and Behemoth, these words in Job, but what he's talking about is big animals that humans haven't been able to. Where were you, Job, when did you make those? Where were you, Job? And he began, the Lord began to say, Job, what right do you have to accuse me? And there came a time that Job then stood before God, and instead of saying, oh Lord, you shouldn't have done that, he put his hand on his mouth and he said, Lord, I spoke one time and way too many. I won't speak again. I put my hand on your mouth and I'm listening to you now, Lord. Folks, that's what we need to do tonight. There's too many human arguments. Too many people trying to justify themselves. And I want to tell you tonight, there's going to be a day when every one of us will stand before the August Majesty. And all arguments will be over with. And our hands will be laid on our mouth. I don't care how good our arguments sound now. There are going to be nothing but leaves there. There are going to be nothing but fodder for the burning. And we will be so ashamed. Today is the time to say, Lord, you're right. Humble our hearts down and say, Lord, my arguments, I may not understand everything. And that's all right if you don't understand anything. But seek to understand. Seek the way of the Lord. Say, Lord, I want you to be have full reign in my life. I want you to have right to change me tonight. Help me to, I want to follow you. I want to serve you tonight. Even if I don't understand all what to do. But I want to ask you to do this. Do what you do know what to do. If I said that right. Do what you know. Follow the Lord. Don't let the devil confuse you to the point that you get all discouraged. But follow on to know the Lord. Pursue Him. And I want to tell you, the Lord will lead you and holiness will be created in your life. The Lord has taken you to a land that flows with milk and honey. The Lord also spoke here to Moses. Moses said, maybe in the 13th verse here of this 33rd chapter, now therefore I pray thee, if I found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee. Is that where your heart is tonight? Is that our prayer? Oh, I wish that every one of us, I hope that every one of us prays that prayer tonight. Lord, show me. Show me thy ways that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight. And consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I'll give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up from here. This is a man realizing his utter helplessness without God. He said, Lord, if you're not leading, if you're not going, I can't go either. I've got to have you. And that's our case here tonight, folks, whether we understand it or not. We can't go out without the Lord. We can't guide our own steps in our own ways. There's no way that you and I can make a success of this run to heaven if we try to do it on our own strength and our own leaning to our own understanding. For when shall it be known here? For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Did you hear what he said? He said, wherein? How? I can find out where. Wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? He said, what is the evidence, Lord, that we found grace in your sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? We need to have the Lord at work in our life. I don't care what anyone else says. I don't care how much I have tried to say, well, I'm trying to live according to a plan, a doctrine. Folks, the Lord Himself needs to be at work in your life. This is the evidence. That thou goest with us, so shall we be separated. I and thy people, the Lord will separate you from the ways of this world. Expect it. When the Lord calls you out of the land of Egypt, He doesn't want us to carry any of the leaven that's back there. He doesn't want us to carry any of the thoughts that are there, any of the food that's there. He wants us to escape from the land of Egypt and leave it all behind. When we get saved, expect there to be a change in your life. This is what God wants to do. I want you to know tonight that if you claim to be saved and there has no change come in your life, you're not saved. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away and all things have become new. There is a change that the Lord wants to create in your life. If your mind is still out there in the world, if that's where your spirit is, if that's what's at work in you, then you need to realize that the Lord wants to still change you. There needs to be a fundamental change in our hearts tonight. He said, we'll be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. We say, well, the Lord wants us, and yes, we live in this world, and we rub shoulders, and we should love everyone, and we should reach out to all the sinner man. And we're not supposed to just reject him and say, well, I can't have anything to do. No, that's not what he's talking about here. But when we spiritually imbibe and reach out and bring in the worldly things into our heart and legitimize that as being all right in the sight of God, that's what God wants to separate you from. He wants evil to be cleansed from your heart. He wants the spirit of the world to be eradicated. He wants these things that would defile to be identified and removed. God wants to do a work in your heart tonight. All the people that are upon the face of the earth, this is the Lord, will separate us, I and thy people, from all the people on the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do these things also. In other words, the Lord said, I will go with you. Moses said, I can't go if you don't go. And so the Lord said, I will do these things. I'll go with you. That's a great comfort. I will do these things also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by thy name. Oh, what a comfort tonight. Every one of you here tonight, the Lord knows where you are. He knows what's in your heart. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you love. He knows that if your testimony is real. He knows if it's fake. He knows. And if it's real, He wants to feed you. And He nourishes that. And He draws you. But if it is not true, the Lord wants you to know that He wants to save you from that false testimony. He said, I know thy name. And He said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And He said, I'll make all my goodness to pass before you. And I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And I will be gracious unto whom I will be gracious. And I will show mercy unto whom I will show mercy. This is the Lord's promise, saying, I have something good for you. And I want you to know, since I have promised it, I will perform it. To those I have said I will have mercy, I will have mercy on you. I have a desire to save you. And I want to tell you tonight, God is having mercy. God is having grace. He is broadcasting. I don't know how, a better word. He is extending His mercy and His love to everyone here tonight. He's true and faithful to His Word. But God wants you and I to respond to that. I will show mercy unto whom I will show mercy. I'll be gracious unto whom I will be gracious. And He said, thou canst not see my face. That's what the Lord said. Thou canst not see my face. For there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. Amen. It's not hard for us to recognize in the world we're living in today, there's a lot of upheaval in the world. There's financial upheaval. There's a lot of not knowing what's going to happen the next few years. There's a lot of unrest. There's a lot of fear that a lot of us feel. There's a lot of things that we don't know just what happens, what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know about tomorrow. But let me say along with the poet or the songwriter that said, I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds my hand. I know the one who creates tomorrow. And I want to tell you tonight that all of our frustration and everything that's going on in the upheaval around us today, the political upheaval, the spiritual battles that swirl around us today, I want you to know there is a God, there's a place by Him, there's a place He has made for you, there's a land of rest that God wants to bring you to, there's a place of stability that you and I can arrive at, God wants to bring us to, there's a place that will cover us with His hand, and we're going to see His glory. There's a place we can stand upon a rock. There's a place that God has for you and I that we don't have to be moved. I want to tell you tonight, no matter what goes on around you, no matter what doubts may flood your mind, there's a place that God wants to bring you and I to, a place of steadiness, a place of I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He's able to keep me. There remains a rest for you tonight. Don't allow the devil to disturb you to the point that you're doubting, that your faith has grown weak, but I want you to know tonight, I want your faith to be built up to know that if you'll trust in God, He can take you to heaven. I want you to know that tonight. Young folks, I want you to get a hold of that. I want you to know that the Lord still has control. I want you to know if you'll put your hand in His tonight, the Lord will lead you. I want you to know tonight it's safe to trust Him. It all hinges on whether we actually do that or not. It's left up to you and I to make that decision. Will I actually reject all my human desires? Let me say it like this. Carnality that would turn me away from the Lord. There's some desires the Lord has given us that aren't evil. I'm not saying that we have to reject all that. But there are things that we can feed in our mind that turns toward the evil. And the Lord wants that cut off. And the Lord wants you and I to give that part wholly to Him. And say, Lord, I want to serve You. And that's a choice every one of us is going to have to make. There's a place of repentance where I say, Lord, I've done wrong. And I come down here and I want You, Lord, to clear it up. I want to be clean in Your sight. Let the blood be applied to my doorpost. I want to escape from Egypt. I am tired of the lashes on my back. I'm tired of being a slave to this old failure time and time again. I want to tell you tonight, God wants to come and deliver you from that land. And He wants to take you and I to a place, that a land that still flows with milk and honey. Where a place that is by God. A place where there's a rock that we can stand by Him. So there's a place by me. Oh, this verse has always meant so much to me. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. Folks, that ought to be comforting to our hearts tonight. There's a place I can reside. There's a land God wants to bring us to. There's a place He wants to cover us with His hand. There's a place that He wants you and I to be in, that we can be in His very protection. His very glory will be there. The presence of the Lord will surround us. And it shall come to pass, the 22nd verse, last part of it, a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I'll put thee in the cleft of the rock, and I'll cover you with my hand while I pass by. The Lord is going to have His hand right on us, dear ones. I want to tell you, let's let the Lord put His hand on us. Let the Lord surround us. Come to Him and run into the Lord. So the righteous run into Him and they're saved. And I want to tell you tonight, the Lord wants to do that for every one of us. The Lord wants to protect you and I from all the things going on out here in the world. He wants to call us out of the land of Egypt. And I want to tell you here tonight, the Lord wants to deal with your soul if you're not saved. He's trying to deal with your soul. And us humans up here, I am well aware that ministers don't have the ability to say the right words to penetrate your heart. I am well aware that my feeble attempt is so short of what is needed. But the Holy Spirit Himself would like to talk with you tonight. There is one who loves you. There is one who knows the very degradation that is ahead of you if you keep on the way you're going tonight. There is one who calls and says, won't you come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. There is one that says, I have a place I want to bring you to. There's a place that I want to hold you in my arms. I want to cover you with my hand. I want to protect you from the things that defile. I want to protect you from the heartaches of life. And I want to tell you, God wants us, everyone, whether saved tonight here or not saved, God wants us to leave the place we're in and fly to His arms. He wants us to fly into His hands where He can cover us and He wants to show us His glory. There are things too big for you and I to handle. Many things too big for you and I to handle. And it's time for us tonight to say, I can't handle it, Lord. Show me Your glory. Can't handle it, Lord. I need You. We bring ourselves into the Lord and say, cover me. Set me on a rock, Lord. I need some place to stand solid. And the Lord's got it for you. There's a good land He wants to bring us to. There's hope. There's a place that the Lord has for every one of us tonight. Of stability and direction and hope, and the glory of the Lord surrounds you and I. And He wants to show Himself to you and I. I believe tonight if He showed us all His glory, there wouldn't be any of us be able to fully stand that. But He wants to show us enough that we'll know without a shadow of a doubt there's one big enough to handle all my problems. And there's one big enough to keep you. And I will say again here tonight with Paul that I know that He is able to keep that which I've committed. And He's able to keep that which you've committed. We have to commit it though. Give it up. He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I want to tell you, the Lord said again, and I hope this rings in your heart, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. Amen. And I said, I'll show you my glory. And I put my hand over you. There's a good land. There's a land that flows with milk and honey. And He wants you to have it. It's His will that you have it. And if you end up in hell tonight, it's going to be because you choose to go there. And it's going to be because you rode over road and over road and over road and rejected His mercy time and time again. And you grew cold in your soul. I want to tell you, that's the only way you're going to make it, because God will deal time and time and time and time again, because it's not His will that any would perish, but that all should come to His salvation. I want to tell you tonight that the Lord wants to encourage every one of us. He wants us to make heaven. He wants us to feel the stability and the touch of His hand on our heart. Let's respond to Him tonight and allow Him to work with us. He wants to get us to heaven. Pray for me. I want to go to heaven with you.